Listener-supported Light of Life Radio brings you Answering the Call, discussing the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious in our listening area. And now here's Answering the Call with host Irene Carubia.
We thank all our listeners for joining us today on Answering the Call, brought to you by LOL Radio, broadcasting throughout North Central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. It is here that we discuss with priests and religious from our listening area their call from God for their vocation. I'm Irene Carubia, and today we have with us Sister Kiera Joan. Sister Kiera is a novice at Franciscan Sisters TOR of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother in Toronto, Ohio, near Steubenville. Sister Kiera will be making her first vows in August 2017. Welcome, Sister Kiera.
Thank you, Irene.
Tell us your story.
My vocation story starts where all of ours do, within my family. And as a community, we get to go home once a year. And so when I was home last summer, my niece, she was 4 years old at the time, and she kept telling me, "I love you so much that I can't stop loving you." And that just really struck me. And I prayed with that. And I realized that's what our vocation is. Our vocation is the reality that God loves us so much that he can't stop loving us. And it's his way of manifesting his love for us through our vocation and where he desires us to be. So I was raised in a Catholic family, and we were definitely more than just Sunday churchgoers, but you probably wouldn't find us on EWTN praying the rosary. We were kind of somewhere in between. But my parents were very devout, raised us in the faith, and I just always had a very deep love for the Eucharist. I remember when I first received my first communion, I got really sick that next Sunday and I couldn't go to Mass, and I started crying because I wanted to receive the Eucharist so badly. And I just always had this very deep love for the Eucharist, but I never really had a personal relationship with Christ. However, when I was in high school, I met this group of friends, and they had just this deep love for the Lord. And I remember the first time I met them just thinking, they have something that I don't have, but I want whatever it is that they have. And that thing that they had, it was joy. It was this deep joy that I had never experienced before. And I ended up going on a retreat with them out in Nebraska. And it was the first time in my life that I'd ever had a relationship with Mary and the saints. And it was the first time that I'd ever journaled. It was the first time I'd ever had a silent holy hour. And it was the first time that I'd ever met sisters, young, vibrant sisters who were in love with the Lord. And just their love and their witness really struck a chord with me as I was on this retreat. And I remember about halfway through the retreat, we were all kind of tired, and one of the brothers, one of the religious brothers that was running the youth track, said, "You know, I'm sure a lot of you are really tired right now, but I just want you to push through this retreat for those who want to be here and who can't." So I was remembering that, and I was trying to push through. And as we were at Mass that night, I just remember during the prayers of consecration, the priest held up the host for about 10 seconds, which doesn't seem like a long time, but in the context of Mass, it is. And I just remember looking up at Jesus in the Eucharist and looking over at the sisters that were doing music and looking back up at Jesus and back over at the sisters. And I just felt just a gentle tugging at my heart and the Lord saying, "Just think about it. Just think about it." And for whatever reason, this didn't totally freak me out. I was very calm about it. And so this is the first time I really felt this call. However, I went back to high school, public high school, and went back to life after this retreat, and those ideas of discernment kind of went on the back burner. Yeah, my whole time through high school, I just really struggled with my own self-image and my own self-esteem, and yeah, I just never felt beautiful or wanted. And the only way I knew how to fulfill those things was through a man, like through a relationship, through a romantic relationship. But that never happened. And so I just really carried these feelings through with me when I went to college. And I went to a small liberal arts Catholic college called St. Vincent College in La Trobe, Pennsylvania. And a group of monks run the school. And just the witness of the monks was very important for me in my discernment. And I remember my second semester of my freshman year, I had a friend come up to me and he said, "Hey, I'm running the adoration in the student chapel this semester. Would you be interested in being an adorer and signing up for an hour?" And of course, I hadn't done a holy hour since I had gone on this retreat 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. But for whatever reason, I just decided to do it. I decided to sign up for this holy hour, and this one holy hour a week ended up turning into two holy hours a week, which ended up turning into finding every chapel on campus that had adoration and just going in and just spending time with the Lord and going to Mass every day or as often as I could and going to Vespers with the monks and praying. And I just had this really great group of friends in college, and we could pray together and we would pray the rosary together. We would pray over each other. We would pray with each other. And like my life was just becoming this prayer. And so it was just, again, fostering the spirit of discernment because I was spending so much time in silence. So during this time, one of the monks came up to me, and he was one of the campus ministers at the time. And of course, I was very quiet about my discernment. I never really talked to anybody about it. But he came up to me and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about being a sister?" And I was so caught off guard. It's like, yeah, actually I have. And he said, "Well, there's this really great group of sisters up near Steubenville. And I think, you know," he had a friend that's in our community. And he said, "I really think that you'd fit in well with them. Would you consider, you know, getting in contact with them and seeing?" And of course, in my mind, I'm like, "No, there's no way I'm doing that." But he is a very persistent man. So every time he would see me, he would ask me if I had contacted the sisters yet. And every time I would say no. So finally, just to tell him something other than no, I emailed the sisters and I ended up signing up for a vocations discernment retreat. And from the moment that I signed up until the moment that I went, I was looking for every excuse in the book not to go. I even thought about lying to get out of it because I just really just didn't want to go. I was in kind of an interesting place still with my spiritual life. But I ended up going. And on the first night of this retreat, we have adoration and the sisters read the passage of the woman who suffered from hemorrhages, and she touched Jesus's cloak and she was instantly healed. And so they put two cloths around the monstrance and laid over the prie-dieu. So we went up, and so we were touching the cloak of Christ as we were praying. And I remember it was my turn to go up there, and we were up there alone with the Lord. And I looked at Jesus and the monstrance, and that was the closest I'd ever been to Jesus and the monstrance before in adoration. And the only thing that came to my mind, the only thing I could think of, was how beautiful the Lord is. And I always thought it was very strange to describe a man as being beautiful, but that was the only thing I could think of, was just how beautiful the Lord is. And he told me in that moment, he said, "This great beauty that you see in me, you are what I am. You are what I am. You possess the same beauty. You possess the same love. You possess the same goodness. You are what I am. You're made in my image and likeness." And it was the first time I was really able to look at the Lord and just know that I was in love with him. Like, he wasn't just a character in a book. He wasn't just a convenient vending machine that I went to and I needed things. He was a real person in my life who loved me and cared about me. And I, in turn, was reciprocating this love. And yeah, in that moment, I heard the Lord say to me, "This love that you feel for me in this moment is just a fraction of the love that I feel for you every moment of every day." And it was just this deep knowledge that Christ could fulfill me. That Christ could fulfill me. He could fulfill that longing for love in my heart. He could fulfill that longing to be wanted, that longing to be known as beautiful and beloved and good, that he could fulfill that. And I just knew that so deeply in that moment. However, I am very stubborn. So I came back to college and I was like, "All right, Lord, that was really great, but I think it's time for me to discern marriage now and to date and, you know, to just be with men." And however, my spiritual director at the time was not okay with that. He said, "You know, what you experienced was really extraordinary. And I think that's something you need to pray into a little bit more." So I ended up going on a come and see with our community. And so we live the life. And when you come on a come and see, it's not a retreat. You live the day-to-day life with the sisters. And the whole time I was there, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. I'm like, you know, it's like, it was so cold. We couldn't drive anywhere. And they just ran out of projects for us. You know, so it's like, it wasn't a normal come and see, but I just felt so at home when I was on this come and see. And I remember expressing that to the vocations director at the time. And she said, "Well, just so you know, like, the other sisters are seeing this too. Like, they see that you feel at home. They see that you fit in with us." And yeah, and she asked me if I would be interested in applying for the community. And I was, you know, still kind of young. I was 19. I was like, I don't know if I really want to do that. I think I'd like to wait. And I just had my own agenda of things that I wanted to do. And they weren't unholy things by any means. They were very holy and beautiful things. You know, I wanted to do missionary work, and I wanted to volunteer. I wanted to give of my time. I wanted to finish schooling. I wanted to go on and get my master's. And these are not unholy things. These are very beautiful things. However, the Lord was calling me to lay down all of those holy desires for this one holy desire of being His bride. After that come and see, I came back to school, and I ended up borrowing a book from my spiritual director at the time, and it's called 33 Days to Morning Glory, and it's a simple version of St. Louis de Montfort's book, True Devotion to Mary. And so you consecrate yourself to Jesus through the hands of Our Lady. And I wasn't paying any attention to the day I did the consecration for. I was just trying to pick a day so that I could get this book back to Him the first day that there was. So I'm doing this consecration to Mary, and while I'm doing this consecration to Mary, I went to a Christopher West conference, and Christopher West teaches John Paul II's Theology of the Body. And every time Christopher West would make a comment about marriage, in my mind, it was just equating it to religious life and Christ's spousal love for the church. And I was like, I don't think this is normal. I don't think this is what other people are thinking right now. I think they're probably thinking about marriage, and here I am thinking about religious life. And I just remember I came back from that conference, and I'm in my room, and I'm trying to study for an exam, and I was just so restless. I was so restless, and I just couldn't focus on anything. And so finally I went to the chapel just to clear my mind a little bit, and I really felt the Lord calling me to enter for that coming summer in community. And I just resisted it. I think I just made this big groan. I'm like, no, Lord, no, this wasn't part of the plan. We were going to wait, remember, and all these things that I wanted to do. And so I just decided I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to wait, and I'm just going to do my own thing and follow my own plans, because I feel more comfortable doing that, and that's what I want to do. And I remember I went to confession that night or right around that time, and the priest in the confessional knew me really well, and I said, Father, the Lord's asking me to do something, and I'm going to tell Him no, and that's just how it is, and there's nothing you can do to convince me otherwise. And he said, okay. He said, well, you know, the Feast of the Annunciation is coming up, and so I just encourage you to unite yourself to Our Lady and to really give your yes to the Lord. Little did I know that this 33 Days to Morning Glory that I was doing, my consecration day, was the Annunciation. And so it was on that day that I was just really able to hand my will over to the Lord and give it to Him. And I was really able to give my fiat of love, my yes, the whole of my being, the entirety of my dreams, my plans, my ambitions, my future, a family, all the things that you offer up whenever you enter religious life. I was just really able to give that to Him in a spirit of joy and a spirit of love with Our Lady through her hands. And so I ended up entering community that coming summer, and the Lord just really took care of everything. I had a lot of student loans, and I was just really able to pay most of those off in a short amount of time. And He just really worked everything out. He just paved the way for me to be able to enter when I did. And so I just encourage each one of you to give your fiat to the Lord, to be not afraid. open your arms to the Lord and to His love, to what He's asking of you. It might seem scary in the moment, and it might seem like what you have planned is the better way. But the Lord knows, He knows you so deeply. He knows every hair on your head. He's loved you into existence. You were born of this great, deep thought of God, and He knows what's best for you. And so I just encourage you just to be open to the Lord and to be not afraid, to give your yes, to give your love, to give your fiat with Our Lady to the Lord.
Well, thank you, Sister Kiera. That was a beautiful testimony, one that I'm sure a lot of young women and men will thoroughly enjoy listening to. I know I did. Thank you. God bless you.
Answering the Call is produced by Light of Life Radio, your listener-supported Catholic radio station in north-central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. Archived recordings of Answering the Call are available at www.lolradio.org.